This is
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Welcome back to Wow, What a Week. Our celebrity guest is in the building. He's an artist that older music fans would associate with the color green, or more specifically, green, green. These days, however, he's more associated with the color red. Red. Though many people will agree that he's a true blue South African cultural icon. Please give a warm welcome to someone who made a notable path in SA music and in creating a new one in SA politics. Honorable Member of Parliament, Ringo Madlingozi. Order.
Oh, yeah.
So when there's madness there in Parliament and Buisen is getting carried away, where are you when this madness is happening in Parliament?
Watching. Yeah, I'm watching.
Yeah. So officially, Pela, Parliament disbanded, what, yesterday?
Yeah.
So you guys are officially unemployed now.
Unemployed now.
So what happens then? Like, what happens between now and the new Parliament?
We're pushing, letting people know that there's only one party to vote for, which is EFF.
But in terms of, for instance, your allowances, your money, are you unemployed now? It's over?
Yes. But then, you know, you just get paid until the new Parliament starts. Then,
yes.
Then, if your name is back, sure. If it's not there, then it's all right. Then, yeah.
What do you wish you had been warned about being a Member of Parliament?
A lot of things. Some of them I wouldn't discuss. But
yeah.
But yeah, you know, the realization of exactly what is happening in the country.
What do you think you used to take for granted about Parliament and being members of Parliament that you now appreciate, because now you're in the belly of the beast?
You know, having to know that one has got to be in the know and exactly know reading. Reading, you know, every time you have to read, understand knowledge, you know, and that is what is needed. That's why, you know, I would think that because we are where we are right now because the ruling party had people who were not very much keen in reading, or maybe they are old, you know.
And then some were buying degrees,
you know, things like that.
Allowed to get away with it.
Yeah, that's South Africa today.
But would you say the ethics committee in Parliament is toothless, though? Or do you think they're thorough?
Well, toothless, because it wouldn't be here where we are today. Wouldn't be here. If they had teeth, definitely there would have been some change. A lot of it, too, not just, you know, what we see right now.
So what do we change about our Parliament? If things were up to Ringo, what would change about the structure? Do we have too many members of parliament? Do we have enough members of parliament?
We have too many members of parliament.
Should should the Speaker of Parliament be from the biggest party? Should it be a neutral person? What would you change about parliament?
Look, first of all, there are too many people there, and some of them are doing nothing.
They're sleeping.
And
sleeping is
also. And there's
also
a lot of duplication going on.
Yes.
So, there should be a lot of consequence management.
Sure.
People should account.
Yeah.
And if that could be, be the priority, things are going to change in a big way.
So, according to Ringo, if things were up to you, there'd be more consequence management in Parliament.
Yep.
And there'd be less people.
Less people. And, if the heads are not working, the heads got to roll so that, you know, the body moved on.
You're on two committees, right?
Yep.
What happens in these portfolio committees in Parliament? What do you guys typically do? What does an average day look like?
Well, you know, we all listen to what is being presented by the, you know, the department.
Sure.
And obviously would be having the information prior. And we have to ask questions. Why this didn't happen? Why is it happening like this? And what is your plan to make it work? And if they are no, then we start to attack. And this is what you should be doing.
Sure.
This is how we should be doing. And this is the time frames.
Sure.
And of course, you know, it will depend on the voting, you know, part. If the ruling party says, ah, no, wait, you are going to expose us now, they can vote it out.
Sure.
Yeah.
What would you say your biggest win has been in these committees that you sit on?
The biggest winners?
The biggest win for you or for the EFF within these committees?
Well, look, you see, what I know that is happening also within the other committees, even though I'm not there, EFF never let anything slide.
Sure.
Yeah. We attack until it's better it's moved to the right direction,
sure,
or the voters out.
So you keep everyone on their toes. Basically.
That's what you should be doing. So that's the win for us.
Sure. Yeah. Who's winning next week? Who's winning how much? Because obviously everyone goes into a race to win. And you hear every politician say, I'm in it to win it. Even though we know that you are not going to win it,
look,
generally.
Look,
but
you know,
everyone says, ah, no, I'm in it to win it, we're winning. Musi Maiman, I'm going to be president. Songe Zozibi, yes, we. You know what I mean?
You know.
But we all know that the sundowns of elections is going to win. They might not win with a big margin.
Yeah.
But we generally know the direction things are going.
That's right.
Realistically.
That's right.
How is the EFF going to do?
You know, the leadership is on the ground. It has been on the ground. And it's, you know, it's exhausting, you know.
Sure.
And look, EFF is gunning for number one. If it's number one, it should be number two. Number three could be a lose for EFF because it has been like growing, you know. If there will be a positive, it will be a 100% growth, definitely. And look, people have been on the ground, and the ground forces have been talking to people.
Sure.
People to people, umdu emduin, one time to talk to people and let them know exactly what is going on. And, you know, there's this tendency of people thinking that politics is about the ruling party.
Sure.
And they even attack the IEC, thinking that it's part of ANC.
Sure.
So people should understand that we are there to make a change. We're there to let people know that this is what we have. And, you know, people always blame EFF. No, you guys, you've been there and blah, blah, blah. But it's only 10 years. And the if EFF was in charge, obviously all those, pillars of the EFF would be implemented by now.
Sure.
But you're all fighting for it.
What do you say to people who are scared of the EFF? Because there are people who feel the EFF is too radical, the EFF is too rough around the edges, it needs to be polished in yana.
There is no polishing needed.
Yeah.
Look, there's been too much polishing, you know, being done for the last 30 years or even more, you know. It's time now people should understand and realize that it's either we do it or we don't.
Yeah.
So that is needed. That, you know, radical, you know, effect is needed. And also, we cannot be just sitting down and trying to be nice.
True.
You know, EFF is not there to let people know. They're there to agitate, to make things work so that people understand we need change right now. Yeah.
So let's say the ANC gets less than 50%. If you look into your crystal ball, what will the coalition going forward look like in your mind's eye?
I would be very much not clear on that one because these people are more like controlled some way, you know. My crystal ball is looking at seeing EFF right out winning.
And is that realistic?
It could be. It could be. Because people are tired. You know, tell the people are tired.
People are tired, but people are tired, but there's also an attitude of rather the devil we know.
And that's the problem.
They're not.
And that is the problem.
There's also people who fear, based on coalitions provincially and at local government level, the people are also saying, if you guys can't manage a city within a coalition, why should at a national level we risk having coalition chaos than rather the devil we know?
There's always a plan.
Yeah.
And all the, these chaotic, you know, situations, chaotic, you know, visions that the people see. It's a plan to introduce what we need to introduce as EFF. So, say for instance, if there is a point that needed to be done, and we are in coalition, and you are not implementing what we want to, so we just, you know, keep our vote away, and then it collapses until you implement what we want to be done. That is not chaotic. That is planning, actually. Yeah, that's all planning ahead. Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see what happens next week. But all the best to you and the fighters.
Each other.
In fact, before we close the politics, tell people why they must vote for the EFF and not for anyone else.
There is just no any other party that is very. EFF is love. EFF is unity. EFF is future. It is run by the youth. Nobody who is older will tell you about your future. Your future is in your hands. Your hands are with the EFF. That's where it is.
That sounds like lyrics from a song you wrote when you're still a Rasta. EFF is love, EFF is unity.
No, this time like that. Sitama fighter figile kweli shoe. Fighter nditi fumaga mnande.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's go back to to the beginning.
All right.
Because I remember when I presented Studio Mix with Melanie Son and Bob Mabena.
Yes.
We used to play Gecko Moon on Studio Mix. And little did we know that one of these guys here is going to become part of our popular culture. I mean, you've literally been the soundtrack to a lot of people and families for the last 25, 30 years.
Sure.
So Gecko Moon then disbands.
Yep.
And then you start being a backup singer for other people.
Yep.
Let's talk about having to, as it were, downgrade, because you are in a group. You guys have won Shell Road to Fame.
Yes.
You're becoming household names. And then you decide, I'm going to sing backup for other people. So you've gone from the front of stage to the back of stage.
Yep.
At a mental level, how do you adjust to that? That I want to go from being the steering to assisting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Look, Tato, it's you see, we came in as youngsters from Cape Town.
Yes.
You know, I remember I would get on stage, you know, with backflips and coming in and singing. You know? and you know, as Beto, and we're young, and we had different influences, you know. So others went deeper into jazz, like Hebe Swahidi and them, and you know, Odisi. And I was more inclined towards reggae, you know, at the time. And yes, so as we grew, we outgrew each other, you know, after Road to Fame, after gigging around, you know, Johannesburg, you know, there was this club, and Conor Rusik and Commissioner, you know, the Jamisons, you know, go there, remember they are. So, after that, and then Pedro disbanded. Sam went back to Cape Town. I thought, no, I'm not going to go back. I mean, what's the point? You know, I'm here now. And the hub of artistic environment is here. So I thought, no, let me just hang around.
And Joburg was cooking at that time.
All the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I thought that as an artist, one would never make it anywhere else besides coming here.
Sure.
So, me and Alan Cameron, the keyboard player that we were with the Better, so we just joined it together and we formed Gecko Moon.
Yes.
Yes, even that, you know, we had that, turntable hit, Green Green.
Yes.
Yeah, and it never made an impact, you know, because at that time, reggae was not taken as a serious, genre.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was literally one artist people were buying, like you do.
It was like, also Carlos Jeje.
Oh, yes, and Carlos.
You know, yes. And also Cobert in Limpopo.
Sure.
Yeah, so, tried, but then, look, I had to start afresh, you know, because I realized that for me to start again, let me get everything and just, you know, go back to the ground.
So at an ego level, how are you dealing with it? Because generally as men, we handle ego differently to women. And normally a guy who's been at a certain level, it'll take a lot for them to humble themselves and say, I need to start from zero.
Yeah.
I need to go and beg for,
that's right.
Let me be your backup singer, give me a chance. At an ego level, how are you dealing with that?
Look, maybe I didn't care about that part, you know, of ego and all that.
When I wanted to gig?
All I wanted was, because I'm feeling I'm the best when I'm singing, you know. So I was very much interested in singing for the people.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would get into trouble with the other, you know, backing singers, because, you know, we would be called to come and do a session for another artist.
Mm.
So we'll get there, you know, people will be waiting for, the principal artist to come. Sure. Okay, guys, here's the melody, and here's the harmony, here's the rhythm, sing. And then I would always, you know, fix the harmony at the back without being told by the producer, do this. So I would be a pest in another place. They would think that I'm being clever.
You think you're bad?
Yeah, I'm clever. Yeah. But I would say, like, guys, I don't want to have my name in a bad sounding harmony. Come on, please, let's fix this.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was very much into that. So the other producers saw this, this guy, whenever he's around, you know, work goes fast and he's always, you know, coming out with a very good production. So I was doing that all the time. So he started from there, you know, Tato, that I felt good, you know. Backing, you know, people. Even though sometimes I would find myself being ill-treated by some of these principal producers. There was a time where the late Obra Ray. So we're fixing this, you know, harmony and all that. And he just gave us lyrics without the melody and everything. So we just sat down and we waited for him to give us the melody, at least so that we can work around our harmony.
Sure.
He came by slashing us. I said, you'll never make it in America. You're a slasher. I just picked up
my
bag.
You're not proactive.
I was gone. I left the studio. I'm like, no, I'm not going to take this. So, so there were such, you know, instances where I would find that it's not easy. But I kept on doing it. And Brahu, you know, also, you know, called me and said, listen, man, we are going to France. You know, there was this thing. It was Afrique du Sud, you know.
Yeah.
It was a project that was created by his sister, Mamu Papra Masigela. So we got there and we were picking Chabu Kanyile, Busim Tlongo, Hugh Masigela, Jonas Kuango. Damn, all those guys are gone.
I was about to say,
you know,
majority, if not all of the guys who gave you a chance that you backed are gone.
Oh, yes, man, you know. And, you know, during that time, when I was backing, you know, all those guys in France, we were there for like 3 weeks. So, Mama Busim Tlongo, you know, she came to me, she said, hey, look, I don't want you to be at the back, you know, begging me. But I feel like you have to be here next to me.
Sure.
I said, no, but I'm back. He said, no, no, back when you're standing next to me. And then she encouraged me to, when you go back to South Africa, that cut your album, do something.
Didn't you getting attention more than other backup singers, did it ever cause tension?
Oh, yes, always.
Yeah.
Always, because...
How did you deal with that tension?
Even that, you know, I would just laugh it off.
Yeah.
Like, no, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do the right thing. You know, and at the end of the day, they would realize that what I'm saying is right.
Sure.
Not that I'm perfect, but can we do it the right way?
Sure.
You know? So, yeah, you'd always be like, no, wait, why isn't that clever? Who told you that you are the producer? I said, no, can you just do it the right way? That's
exactly.
All. Yeah.
Because ultimately, if we do it the right way, it's going to come back here anyway.
Exactly, and it's going to raise... Remember, you know, we did that... We chose ourselves. It was the late Wings, Khale, Zamum Mbutho, Sipho Nxumalo, and myself. We called ourselves the Fourth Street. You remember, you know, the Fourth Street. So we would go and packing, you know, do these adverts for different products, for radio and all that. So they knew that if you call those three guys, those four guys, everything will go smooth.
You guys worked at, was it Audio Lab?
Yeah, yeah. Most of the time, yeah, I was there. Yeah,
I used to do voiceovers at Audio Lab.
Yeah,
Rob
Schroeder, remember?
I used to do voiceovers there.
Yes, the late Rob Schroeder. People are going.
In fact, I started doing voiceovers there when I was still a student.
Yeah?
And I remember my media studies lecturer told me, find an agent and start doing voiceovers because you've got a voice.
In Boston.
At Boston.
Yeah, I remember.
So I found an agent. And one of my first ever voiceover gigs was for Mnet.
Oh, yeah? All right. Yeah.
So I remember, meeting us.
Yeah.
So we used to cross paths.
Yeah, no, look, those days, you know, it was... And those sessions, you know, they were... would do like a three-hour session for 150 rands.
Imagine.
But you know, you keep all that money out. You know? But well, at the end of the day, you pay a rent of 1,500 a month.
Sure.
But if you collect all those monies, you know, at least getting monies, you know, putting aside and all that.
It adds up.
Oh, yes, it adds up. Mm. So, yeah, that worked, man. And look, we even won that Autumn Harvest jazz something against the band that I came with, Peto.
Sure.
Because Peto entered it without me, and we hit them in Makoyimkubate, we hit them all, and Chabukanyil as Fourth Street with no accompanying, no instrumentation, because we were practicing with, you know, with these guys. I think it was Sipom Charlie on drums and Tando on bass, and how can I forget Peggy's surname? Peggy Khoza.
Sure.
On guitar. Mm. So, 2 days before we went and get into this competition, the guys, Rene, said, no, look, we can't do this. No, you know, because they thought we're going to be a laughing stock there. And then we went to the late Brav Victor Ndun.
Sure.
You know? Bravik came, you know, with this Buckley information of how to harmonize and everything else. Mm. So we went in there with no band, nothing, just voices.
Just voices, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We hit it, man. We did those three songs, and the crowd went crazy. But we knew that we're not going to win. Yeah.
Sure.
So after that performance, we went, get into the crowd. Ah! Sapoza!
I have some Autumn Harvest.
But then they started to call the winners, number three, Jimmy Tlutlu, number two, Makoyim Khubata, number one, Fourth Street, and looking at each other.
How? That's us.
It's us, man. Now we have to look for each other.
Yeah.
We're all looking nice in different corners.
Sure. So what's the lesson in that?
Well, you know,
for
me, you know, Tato is like... there's always, look, one must never give up. on anything. Mm. It might look bleak, but if I, you know, keep on pushing, keep on pushing. Look, I've seen you. It's like, hey, this guy is going up, and it's beautiful because I saw you coming in as a student, and I'm seeing you being, you know, the big guy. I'm like, yeah, man. You know, so I know that the future might look like, you know, it's dark, but working on something, pushing.
So it's not over until it's over.
And it's until it's over. So. Yeah.
And until it's over, just sip on some autumn harvest and mind your own business.
No.
Let's go back to your childhood.
Sure.
We're going to play a game.
All right.
With every musician that we have in studio, we play a game called The Musical.
All right.
Yeah. So this is Ringo, The Musical.
Okay.
I want you to take us back to your childhood. Which song would you say punctuated your childhood? When you think back, your childhood is that song. And if you don't mind singing us that song.
You know, I remember my father had this vinyl of Umamule Tambul with an afro.
Yes.
Just written letter.
Yes.
And there's a song there. Lo mtanu khulele kumuza kuboni zulu uza kunkonkoza mama hey uza kunkonkoza. You know that every time I listen to that song, and some of the songs that as I grew up I listened to them, I used to sing them wrong.
Like which one? Which song? Which song did you make up the lyrics to?
One time, and Bragasi was sitting next to me.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, and it just came natural that I just sang this song that. Oh man! And you know, it was embarrassing that, you know, he was sitting next to me and I'm saying this, you know. I'm singing. Imbumbuthela ye, imbumbuthela ye, imbumbuthela. Now, imbumbuthela is a blind man.
Sure.
Now, he knows the melody, and then he looks at me like, "Hey, Ringo, what song are you singing?" I'm like, and then I remember, yo, it's the song that he wrote.
It's his song, yes.
And the song is going like, "Ke khuputse hai." Yo. I felt like, and then I said, what was that? I'm like, no, I'm growing up in Cape Town. I thought, you know,
it was a song about a blind person.
But he laughed at me. So.
And the Brakatsi is homesick.
For sure.
Oh, man, that's funny. Anyway, let's carry on. Ringo, The Musical. The first time you thought you were in love, as a teenager, what was the song at the time?
It was a song by the... There was a group of, I think, it was three ladies with Barry White.
Yes, sir.
I think it was Love Unlimited, the name of the group.
Oh, yes, because he did the Love Unlimited Orchestra.
That's
after
right.
That. Yes.
So that. I belong to you for as long as you want me to. I belong to you for as long as you want me to. Yeah. I'm in love with you.
Yo.
And I'll always be. And you know, every time I sing that song, and I remember, you know, the first girl that I was in love with.
How old were you?
I was still in Lower primary school. I used to sing. My mother said that.
So you've been singing?
My mother said that I used to sing when I was three.
Sure.
And because, you know, like I've always had that musical, people come into my family house.
Sure.
And the late Bra Gibson Kente,
sure,
the father of theater,
yes,
of South African theater. Mm. So they would come to my house and then practice these songs. But this little three-year-old would be watching them. That's my mother's, you know. And
you're a sponge.
You know, and then the following day,
yeah,
when they would be singing the same thing, they would forget. But that little kid, three-year-old, yeah, is singing the songs that were sung yesterday.
Wow.
And you'd be like, you forgot, but listen to this again. So, yeah, so I've been like, you know, I've always been singing.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
Ringo the musical.
Sure.
What's the song, your song, that you'd say changed the trajectory of your life forever?
Hey, I'm dead, why? Hey, I'm old. Dear, I turned a little bit. Sondela, Sondela, Standwa, Sondela. Nalu tando lwam, lukine long. You know, I remember when we finished doing that song at, yes, at the video lab.
Sure.
Audio lab.
Yes.
So I had that you know, Golf One, where I had two seats at the back. It was sound.
Also, you removed the back seat and put,
put sound,
a box.
There was a big box with sound, you know. So after mixing the song, so we went to Hillbrow. Remember, there was that Fontana,
yes,
shop where, you know, that the chicken.
At High Point.
Yeah. Yes. You know, open the boot,
yeah,
play the song more than 20 times until the cops, you know, chase away like that. But
so this song was fresh out of the oven.
We stopped there, played it.
Did you know already that here we have trouble coming with the song?
No, but it felt good because I was with the guys that were singing, you know, yes, in the studio.
Yes, yes.
And we're still, it never got us, we were just happy to hear the song over,
sure,
and over,
sure,
again.
Sure.
You know, and we bought, you know, chicken, we sang until the cops chased us away.
Yeah.
And for some strange reasons, the following day, I think the late Orak Chabang, we remember?
I remember Orak,
yes,
from CCP.
Yes, so yes, he took it to...
We were at the same label, Mus.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because whenever we were promoting Fresh House Flavor,
yeah.
You were promoting stuff.
Yes. So, so he took it to Ike Parsa.
Yes. At Metro.
Yes. So, damn, the following day, I'm like, listen to this song.
Yeah.
I kept on playing it. And at that time, you know, it wasn't even mastered correctly.
Sure.
But I played it three times. And from there on, my life changed, you know. And then I was no longer a private person.
Yes.
Like, hey.
And then you went from Golf One to bigger cars.
All right.
Now, Ringo the musical.
Sure.
What song would you say punctuated your married life? What was you guys' song?
I would never had a song like that.
Where if it plays and you're in the same room but not together, you just make eye contact that's our song playing. You guys never had a song like that.
Well, look. Me and my ex-wife at the time,
yes,
we were on the same vibe, you know, in the same school. But
sure,
at that time, we never knew each other. We only knew each other here in Johannesburg.
In Joburg, yeah. Yes.
So, but we knew the song. There were songs that when they play, we like looked at each other. Hey, remember this song? Like, who's fooling who? Who is fooling? Tell me who.
Yes, 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 yes.
Who's fooling who?
Are you fooling?
Are you fooling me?
Am I fooling you?
Oh, am I fooling you? You know, okay.
Do you know that that is one of my favorite childhood songs?
Oh, yes?
Yes. It's by One Way.
One Way, that's right.
If there was a top 10 of songs from my childhood, it's in the top
10.
It's in the top 10.
Sure.
And then that bass line.
Oh.
And then the harmonies. Dun, 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 dun.
You know,
yeah.
I think Barry got inspired by that. Yeah. Who's fooling who? Yeah. Are you fooling me?
Am I fooling you?
Sure.
Ringo the Musical. Mm. When things are tough, days are dark, the chips are down, what's Ringo's go-to song? Either to just uplift yourself or to remind yourself that there'll be a better day. Tomorrow is a new day. I can start again.
Still, I would you know, open my bag of songs.
Yeah.
And I'll play Sula Inyembezi Jonganga Mehla Macha Ilizwelicha Ubomi Obucha Abuka Vuka Uyabona Ukomsulwa Ubo Mabuyonsomi Awuthandwa ngabantu bonke uyaza amandla ngawakho awusoli bantu kokwenzekayo kubomi bakho. Then it goes on it. So, you know, it's talking to me.
Yeah.
Even though it's made out of me. But it's talking to me as well. And I know that it's talking to other people as well.
It's almost meditation of sorts.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, like, it's like, hey, listen, man. Whatever it is, it is. And you don't have to blame anyone.
Sure.
Look for the blame inside you.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah, then you'll realize that, actually, I can blame nobody. This is my life.
There's a saying, often the solution is in the problem.
That's great. That's right. And the minute I realize and I understand and I see the problem as it is, I've half solved it.
When things are tough, are there any moments where you are reduced to tears even?
Yeah, but I try not to do it publicly.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be awkward to see you walking past there crying.
You know, when you see that man, tell to please call an ambulance. Something is wrong. I'm no longer myself, you know? Or maybe I'm just about to go in and throw myself somewhere else.
Off Mandela Bridge.
I'm telling you. But, you know, there are times where, you know, I would be... you know, when things were very, very, very tough, you know, and I would sit without realizing that there's a tear running down. And then my little girl would be like, Tata, Nyakala. Then I was like, and then just by that, having her unborn, that I was crying.
Sure.
It sort of like reminds me that, hey, here's someone who's looking up to you.
Sure.
You know, and dust yourself up and, you know, walk.
What did you last cry about?
My sister that passed last year this time.
Condolences.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, she just... said no, she wanted to go home because I was staying with her, and then but on the last day that, you know, all the family was there, and I just sit on the piano and just sang something. I have that, you know, that clip. And while I was, I cried. But at least I was with my family.
Sure.
So I just cried, and I knew that I was.
What are you playing on the piano?
Just something that just came. You know.
Sure.
Yeah, and I knew that the it was hard for them to hear me try to sing something, but cracking and crying.
Mm.
Meanwhile, our sibling was on the other room dying.
Mm.
You know, because my brother went and took her away from hospital. Said no, let us be together.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Father. And then she died while we were there.
What song were you singing at the time?
It's a song that just came to my. Mm. But you know, I still have to work on that. Every time I want to work on that song, it pains me. So I let it be until I'll find you know, time where I can really.
When you're ready.
Yeah, and really look at it.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
Play it, yeah.
Finally, Ringo the Musical. It's the finale. It's before the credits are rolling. It's your victory song. The EFF maybe have won. You're now going to be Minister of Arts and Culture.
Oh, yeah?
What's that song that you're singing at that moment in this musical?
I'm a fighter, figile kweli shumi. Fighter, titifu maga mnande. Titifu fumaga mnande. Fumaga. You having fun?
Each other. And hopefully Julius is not shooting a gun into the air.
That never happened.
No, it was a toy gun.
Remember? Yeah. Sure.
Oh, Bro Ringo, you're a funny guy. But looking back at your life,
sure.
Let's say you were watching your own life in a musical.
Sure.
And you've just watched it.
Sure.
That would be like you watching your life happening in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think when you look at this journey that you've been walking?
Probably I would have loved to just shifted some some instances where I could have been a better artist.
Sure.
You know. But I wouldn't change any hiccups, whatever, because they created who I am right now. But I guess at least could have went deeper into knowing, learning how to write music.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is the only just little regret that I.
Sure.
But I see the problem of people who. Deeper into the education of music.
Sure.
They are very they are stuck into they're boxed into some something that is very mine is I
sometimes what you don't know becomes a superpower of sorts.
You know, I think I would be a foolish artist if I was really into writing music down and everything. I wouldn't be able to go beyond the box.
Yes.
I can sing opera, I can sing reggae, I can sing anything because I'm not boxed into anything. I can sing batang, I can sing maskan, all those things because I can, break all these walls.
Sure.
So I think if I had gone deeper into in the knowledge academically, musically, I would have been stuck somewhere.
Sure. Mm. So this past weekend, Chama Music, who's a DJ producer, he did a men's camp.
Okay.
So we had about 200 men literally camping out at a farm.
Sure.
Just machita.
Okay.
And just talking about guy issues, our challenges, what we're dealing with.
Mm.
And generally, majority of the guys lamented how they want to be better fathers.
That's great.
They want to be better men.
That's
they want to be better parents.
Yep.
Looking back at Ringo the Musical, Are there any moments where you feel you could have been a better husband or a better parent or a better man?
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could have swapped places with my ex-wife and be her, watching and experiencing being with Uringo and the pain of having all that pressure.
Yes.
You know, having
of
all
being married to public property.
Exactly. Mm. You know, where when we walk together, she would dwindle into insignificance. People would be pushing her away.
Yes.
And, you know, I wish I could have been better into
protecting
her.
Yes.
You know, in every way.
Sure.
And also, I wish I could listen to my kids more than trying to tell them what to do, instead of listening to them and see and see the eye in the world through their eyes.
Sure.
Because I realized that I was more about thinking that they were empty vessels pumping information.
Yes.
Meanwhile, they were not like that. They were seeing. They could reason.
And I think one mistake we make as parents also is we treat our kids, like you're saying, like it's three empty vessels that all need the same fuel.
Exactly.
But it's three different minds that need different approaches, different stimulation, different attention at all times.
Yes.
But because generally as parents we're lazy, we take a brush.
Yeah, all of them same. No.
Versus where now you need a pencil first before the brush. Mm. Where now you need a pen, then maybe the brush.
That's right. And you know, and those things. So I would look back and like, wow, I wish I could. You know, because even though some of them didn't follow what I was advising, not because they don't. But because they were rebellious in the way that I was giving.
They're pushing back.
Yeah, they're pushing back. No. We're not. And somehow they regret that they never listened.
Sure.
But I also regret that I should have let them be.
Yes.
You know.
But it's been a good journey.
Oh, yeah. We're still friends, you know.
Sure.
And with my ex-wife, we're still friends, you know. Mm. Actually, we are more friends now than... That's very strange.
Does your ex-wife prefer you with or without the gap? No, let me tell you why I'm asking. Because
yeah.
the gap became your... It's part of who you are.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Ringo we know.
Well...
You know what I mean? And then the minute you did dental work, some people might have not recognized you. It's like, this guy looks like Ringo, but it's not. Because that guy doesn't have a gap.
Yeah. But you know, for her, you know... Because I knew her before there was that gap.
Ah, okay.
Because that gap is not natural.
Sure.
You know, grow up in Cape Town and we have to. So it was a gap that was created, you know, through fights and everything.
Sure.
So now, when she saw the gap, like, oh, and then what happened? And then when it's back, so it was more like back to reality. But the others who... new Ringo from Sondela days, like people think that, you know, it was a natural gap and they hate it. Others even still believe that my voice changed.
Yeah, fairly. How? Because your teeth are part of the acoustics in your mouth.
Yeah.
So the minute you feel the gap, how you're changing the acoustics?
No, but I was more like lisping the
Sondela.
If you listen carefully, it's like you hear the Zets, I'm like, but because the voice is something nice, you don't go deeper into that. Sure.
So, Braringo, you are working this coming weekend.
Sure.
Where can your fans come and support you and show you love? And that's one of the reasons we have you here today.
Oh, yes.
Just to
yes.
support you, show you love, remind you who the hell you are.
Thank you.
And that we're behind you all the time, regardless of what you're doing, whether you're going to politics.
Sure.
If you start farming, we are there.
Sure.
You know, if you want to be an astronaut, we are there.
Each other.
Where are you this weekend? Where can we support
you? I'm at the Mandela Theatre.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that Maibuya Africa.
Sure.
You know, the name could be broadened, you know, that because Maibuya Africa, like, bring it back. And,
sure.
And Africa is about wealth, health, land. It's about dignity.
Sure.
It's about love, you know, it's about unity, all that. So we need to bring it back. Not only, you know, but we need to love one another as Africans.
Sure.
More often. And I think the concept is more about let's unite.
Sure.
And what I love about it, we have like artists from Hope Masika from Zimbabwe.
Sure.
Femi Koya from Nigeria. Alaga. Sorry, I forgot the name, but from Senegal.
Okay.
Sibuadana, Spogazi,
sure.
Mahotela Queens.
Yep.
You see that that
it's African
Sipo Sticks.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Africa in one building.
Oh yes, yes, you know. Sir. So we and it's all, you know, ages food as well, you know. And I'm glad that, you know, I'm part of that.
Sure.
And also
so
more,
is it for the entire weekend?
It's 24, 25.
So 24th and 25th.
Yep.
Okay.
And
are tickets still available?
Tadu, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be, because there are some packages where if one buys 10 tickets, there's 20% discount.
Okay.
And if you buy 20, there's, you know, more discount than coming in. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, it's, you know, the best thing is, like, people should just go in there and support,
yes,
you
sir.
Know. And we need to, you know, answer to this clarion call that Africa, we should unite.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As we believe that all these borders shouldn't be there anyway.
Mm.
They were created in 1884.
Sure.
So we need to start to believe in one another.
Start
know that we are brothers and sisters anyway.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So 24th, 25th,
sure.
It's Saturday, Sunday.
Sure.
No, Friday, Saturday.
Friday, Saturday, yeah.
Friday, Saturday.
That's
at
right.
The Nelson Mandela
Theater, yeah, Bramfontein.
Theater in Bramfontein.
That's right.
Maibuya Africa.
Maibuya Africa.
It's going to be an incredible show. Ringo and a ton of other talents on stage. Please get a ticket, go show them love, and spread love, and just
spread
tell
love.
Everyone else, get someone a ticket, gift someone a ticket. But let's support the arts, and let's support our future Minister of Arts and Culture. So what's the first thing you're going to do as your first day as Minister of Arts and Culture?
First of all, artists.
Yeah.
Of all kinds, DJs, engineers, you know, fine art, musica.
We get a grant also. Oh, sorry.
No.
We want about 350 nuts.
Look, you know, an artist, you know, I will never retire.
Yeah.
I will, you know, one thing that I would love to. I wish it would happen to,
yes, sir.
To leave this world on stage.
Sure.
Not to make people feel bad, but as I go, just like Mama Miriam did.
Ah, yes, yes.
As
yes,
she finished, she walked down.
As the curtain
stairs,
closes.
As she walked down the stairs, then that's when she go. Because they say when she walked down, she fell. That was it. You know?
Or you could make it part of your show. Where if we knew that today's the last day. Part of the show, the coffin is on the stage. As you say goodbye, you walk in.
You
lie down and then you just wave.
You know how we are as black people, Africans.
Yeah.
When you do that,
they keep
away from you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Call it the final show.
Mm.
They don't know, you know. Rodrigo, love you, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
Nothing
love
but
too,
love
man.
And respect for you.
Sure.
I've literally been standing next to you, watching you growing. And
each other.
doing great things. You're Thank iconic. And I'm happy that Sony have woken up to the fact that you're Ringo, man. You're Ringo. We need you to be immortalized, you know, in the way that as many of us would like to immortalize you can. And we'll continue to do that. We'll support your music. We'll stream your music. And hopefully we'll hear brand new music sooner than later.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'll be in the studio. And in fact, October, I'll give you a call. October, November, you come and...
No, let's go.
Come and check
it's
it out.
It's on. It's on. It's on. Ladies and gentlemen, Honorable Ringo Matlingozi, future Minister of Arts and Culture, is about to leave the building. Now, if you know who the next coach of Liverpool is, or you've seen that video of Diddy, but you don't know who the electoral candidates for your province or ward are, then you might have some mental realignment to do, even if it's just for the coming week. Now, we're not telling you how to think. We're not telling you what to think. We're just asking you to be more enlightened in time for next week's big event. Hope you become more informed. Hope you stay away and hope you have a wow week ahead. Coming to you from AMP Studios, we're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Shout out Pezulu Works for the cinematography. Our audio imaging all done by Otis the Floor Fraser. Our guests today, Ringo Matlingozi, creative producer Kuvesh Mohan, and show producer Keletso Modisa King. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have an incredible wow week in spite of yourselves. We're out of here.